For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey Maggie, this is Rob Lowe calling. My brother Wardlow could not call you again. He was on the plane and he just wanted to say again thank you for the continued support. He knows without people like you, he wouldn't have been able to beat Powerhouse Hobbs. So he wanted me to call because he knows that I have a rapport with you and Rob, and that he still hopes to be on your show sometime. So it's my pleasure to call you. I wish you guys the best. Have a great weekend. And there you go. Take care. Hey, Maggie. This is Roberto Pascal, Pedro's second cousin and his assistant. He just wants to say thank you for being a big fan of his and enjoying The Mandalorian Season 3. He wishes he could give you a call personally, but he's on the set and he wanted me to do it. So again, thank you for the continued support, and that's really all he wanted to say, so thank you. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Just people love coexisting with Rob and Maggie. What can you say?
Roberto Pascal.
Holy hell.
Roberto Pascal. Okay, this is a new one. I'm so proud of you, Rob.
Yeah, that was for you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coexisting. It is April 21st, Friday. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. But first off, like every day, or every show, rather, Maggie, how are you?
Let me tell you a story, Rob.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, I pinched my nerve in my back yesterday. You have your bucket?
Yep, got my bucket of water.
Yeah, you have a bucket of water. So I pinched a nerve in my back. It's around my right shoulder blade. It hurts a lot. It's not like as awful as it was yesterday. But, you know, today I woke up and I'm like, I'm always really depressed every Friday morning because it's my first day back to work after 2 days off. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I hate this. This hurts. This is bullshit. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, fuck this. Like, I'm going to smash this day. I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat a bunch of food. I'm going to do my great show with Rob. You know, it's going to be a really wonderful day. Okay, let's do it. And then I go to work and then, oh my God, there's a fucking rat in my bar. This isn't even, you know, the bad thing. Because there was, you know, right around the time where I was freaking out that there was a rat in my bar, I sent a DM to our group chat with, you know, our bosses and, you know, our coworkers. And I'm like, there's a fucking rat in here. In the bar. Will people go to, you know, drink and not see rats all the time? Like, there's a rat in here.
Wow.
And everyone was like, you're overreacting. It's just a rat. And I'm like, excuse me?
Like, yeah. Fuck.
Excuse me? Okay. I am not overreacting. This, like, You know what health inspection, you know, would say about that? Oh, what do you mean? You're overreacting while there's rats on your head. Like, that's, come on, you're overreacting. Come on, oh my God.
Well.
And everything was happening whilst one of my, my worst regular customers was in the bar. He's from Austria and he's a Nazi, by the way. And he's, an Austrian Nazi.
So he should be used to being a rat or rats around him.
Yeah, sure. And I was like freaking out. And he was just, you know, trash talking about women and minorities, you know, all the time. And I'm like, this cannot be happening. What day is this?
Fuck that guy.
I haven't even watched Ring of Honor yet.
You should pee in his beer.
I would if I could, but please, hi guys.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Please, well, Maggie,
like the video, share the video. Let me do my bit.
I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
No, like the video, share the video. Please send us a super chat on our Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Please send us money because I obviously need therapy. I obviously will have to quit my job because there are rats in there. Jesus. Okay. So Rob, what do you want to talk about
We got a lot to talk about. So
I know. For taking up 5 minutes of the show.
No problem. It's all good. It's fun. We got a super chat from our good friend Ryan Sullivan. He says, so Maggie is on her own nerves today.
I love you, Ryan. I want to hug you. Also, we're not, you know, gonna go into this in the show because we respect privacy, but we send all our love to Supi, our good friend. We love you, Mark, and we're sending all our love to you and your family.
Yeah,
we know that you will be watching this eventually. So.
Yep, for sure. Caden says Pedro is hot. That's all. Love y'all.
There you go. Now Caden's a face again.
Yeah. That's all you had. All right. So let's get
Pedro is ready.
As you saw maybe in the YouTube thumbnail, TV talks, contract talks. Let's do this. So TV contract stuff, you know, they're coming up 2024 for WWE and even AEW. There's been a lot of talk recently with AEW side because of CM Punk that came out today from The Observer. And then yesterday, a lot of talk came out from WWE side because of a podcast with Sports Illustrated that an author named Jim Miller talked about. He said that Warner Brothers Discovery has interest in WWE TV, so he wouldn't be surprised if they want a slice of that pie, considering what they pay for, like, NBA coverage and stuff like that. He described it, and while it made sense, I still think there's no way in hell that happens. But from a money standpoint, it makes sense, but I just don't see it happening. How weird would that be if just let's go with a hypothetical here.
Give me a hypothetical. Yeah.
To have, like, Raw, and that's the other thing he said before I move on. He talked about Raw. Warner possibly, he was just giving like hypotheticals what they could do. He talked about it like maybe whoever picks up WWE would want to move Monday Night Raw because we'll move it to a different night because they compete
Monday Night Raw. Yeah,
well, they would change the show. And the thing is, they haven't called it Monday Night Raw in forever, they just call it Raw now. But the thing is that's what people are, that's what we know. Like, you go to that. Now, people are like, well, you got Monday. He said that you're competing against Monday Night Football. You're also competing against the NCAA championship for basketball and football every year. And
this
then
means
other...
nothing to me.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing. That's what my point is. Like, here in the States, that's what he's saying. Like, I get where he's coming from, but I just don't see why TNT would do that. Or Warner Brothers, I mean, Warner, not TNT, but Warner Brothers would do that. They would have wrestling on every night that would put, you'd be basically killing, like, in a way, you'd be killing the product, in a way. because I don't think people are going to want to watch every night. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I don't want to watch every night.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I don't either. I don't watch Tuesdays live, and there's many reasons for that. And tonight I haven't decided, because I love watching SmackDown. Like, I do. I enjoy SmackDown. Well, I have, and sometimes, you know, like everybody, but tonight I might like skip it because I know there's no Rampage, and that way I have something to do tomorrow. But
yes, because why there's no Rampage, Rob? Why is there
It's either hockey or basketball tonight.
No. When's Rampage this week?
It's tomorrow night, right?
It's Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. I was like, yeah. I was like, huh?
I'm sorry. I will never stop saying this. I don't know where it came from. I know it was last week.
We were talking about
about Rebellion, right? Like, or was it because
we were talking about Rebellion? Yeah, we were talking about that, but we were also talking about, well, now I actually don't remember if we were talking about Rebellion or if we were talking about the new TBS show.
AEW show.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Anyways, so the other thing that was talked about yesterday or today now was CM Punk, that Warner Brothers Discovery, according to Pro Wrestling Observer, really wants CM Punk, and they are...
Of course they do.
Well, yeah.
It's money.
Yeah, of course.
You'd be stupid not to.
There's a lot of speculation because Warner was paying AEW $500,000 per hour for their product, basically. That's what they were paying for AEW first run programming rights, rather. So if you multiply that basically 52 times a year, because it's $500,000 per hour, so that's $1 million per show, that would be $52 million. And basically, that's Tony Khan saying, okay, so I have to get CM Punk back because they're going to give us $52 million. Now that $52 million, that goes a long way for getting guys like Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Adam Page, because those guys, like Adam Page, like Fightful Select reported his contract. He's just negotiating now. He's just in negotiations, or they just started. We already know about the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are negotiating. So it'll be interesting. That money could go a long ways. So there's some good to it. And it's also like one of those things where my thing is, what the hell happens if, by no means do I want anything like what happened in September to happen again, like with CM Punk. But what happens if he loses it again? It's like, geez, you know, what do you make of this?
We've been having this conversation for 11 years now. I don't think there's anything more we can say at this point, you know, except for one thing that I happen to neglect in my statements so far. Because I kind of feel like I was defending the Elite a lot while, you know, piling on CM Punk. But you know what? If the Elite want to keep those EVP titles, which God forbid, I have no idea what they mean. Like, I know what they mean, but like, what are they? Like, are they, you know, for pride? Are they ego? Like, what are they? Like, I have no idea what they mean.
That I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're an EVP, you buckle up and talk with the man. Because like, if you want to be professional, be a professional. And if you can't be a professional, drop those titles. Because like, that's at the end of the day, that's...
Yes. And Ryan makes a good point. Those numbers are accurate. Kind of like what I was saying, that money covers some raises. And it does. It covers a lot of raises.
Yeah. It covers a lot of them.
And it covers...
It covers, you know, future stars that you want to sign. Mm-hmm. It covers, you know, people you may be interested in that their contracts expire like soon.
Yeah.
It covers a lot of stuff. And if you're going to, you know, split that roster, which is... totally weird thing to say, because like what, like that splitting of the roster can go either way, either really, really good or really terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. So like even talking about contract wise, so kind of sliding into that, it's come out like this past week that Becky Lynch, contract is coming up.
She flat out said that she wasn't going to work on Monday. I am showing there.
Yeah. So, and then we already know about Drew McIntyre's contract talk or contract from late last week. So Fightful Select reported the Becky Lynch one. They signed 4-year contracts in 2020. So they're up in 2024.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting is Becky Lynch is with a huge agency. She's with CAA, which is one of the big Hollywood agencies. So
yes.
Endeavor is pretty much a talent agency as well. So it'll be interesting, like as far as, I mean, that won't stop either team from negotiating by any means. I'm not saying that, but it'll be interesting to see how things go. The thing that concerns me when you look at contracts with WWE now is the Endeavor part, because Endeavor has a history, UFC, of not paying people what they are paying minimum, rather. Like you look at the UFC fighters. Now, what stands out between UFC and WWE is WWE wrestlers are on TV a lot more. They're doing a lot more.
Yeah, but like they get paid like for, you know, yearly, you know, the salary, like UFC are paid for a match.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep, for a match.
I know that. I'm smart. Yeah.
So it'll be like, that's the thing. Like, and then plus the TV money will help into that too. It just really depends what route these companies go. I don't see either one of these people leaving.
No. Like the reason Drew McIntyre like did what he did was because he was let go. Like he did some indies. He made a name for himself, you know, like a lot of stuff. And then he came back, you know, kind of like Cody Rhodes. But he came back to NXT. He did a lot of cool stuff on NXT. Then he debuted on the main roster with, you know, weirdly way. But, like, come on. It's, but, like, Becky, here's the thing. Becky doesn't need WWE, but WWE need Becky.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. The thing. Yeah. There's nothing more to say. That's it. You know, because Becky, like, I feel like everything that she wants to do from now on is in her hands. If mm-hmm. she wants to go to Hollywood, she will smash it in Hollywood. Like those little, you know, stupid vignettes that they did for WrestleMania Hollywood, she crushed it with Seth. She crushed it. Actually, everyone crushed it in those vignettes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were awesome, all of them. Rhea, oh my God. Rhea Ripley was absolutely,
yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't pay attention too much to that. I mean, I knew it was Top Gun, but I was looking at the
So Becky did everything in WWE despite her really awful booking at first. And then, you know, they turned her heel, but like people loved her so much that she could never be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then she made, you know, big time bets, and she was a heel, but everyone continued to love her.
She's at that point in her career that
she's like so magnificently cool that she cannot, there's nothing you can do. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Like she has a big time bus so she can have her child with her on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's that dedicated to her job, to her family, to her husband, like everything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, like,
everything that she wants to do from now on is hers to take.
Yes.
She doesn't need wrestling. She can do whatever.
Yeah.
Like, she can be, you know, how do you call it? She could be the female version of Jason Statham.
Interesting. I didn't think of that that way.
Action movies, like you go, girl, we punch you in the face. Yeah. You know, let me breastfeed for a quick
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, that's.
I don't care. But like her attitude, like her charisma.
Charisma, yeah.
Like everything that like she doesn't need wrestling. She can go easily go to Hollywood. She can do whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, and Corey says it right. She was like really good as Cyndi Lauper on the Young Rock show.
Exactly. So. She kicked the door for Hollywood. Like she's basically there. If she walks to you, like fucking Wonder Woman, okay?
Yeah. There you go.
Jesus. Wonder Woman.
So moving on from WWE, I touched on it just a few minutes ago. Hangman Page, he's working on a contract extension. They just started talks, from what Fightful Select reported. Negotiations just started recently. Hangman does have the same agent or representative that the Omega and the Young Bucks use. So I'm willing to bet they're all negotiating right now because I mean, it'll be interesting to see what I.
Hangman was on BT. Come on, they're not showing Hangman on BT if he's not, you know.
Yeah.
And like the way they showed him on BT, like, you know, if there's anything happening on Dynamite concerning the Elite, you're gonna need to watch Being the Elite in order for everything to make sense even more. I'm not saying that they're not portraying this as good as they should be on Dynamite, and you need an explanation on, you know, a podcast. Oh no, it's not a podcast. It's a vlog. I'm not saying that, but like they like it's the Elite's way. They do this. Like they've been doing this since day one.
Yeah.
So you really need to watch Being the Elite.
Yeah. For sure. And I like it. I'm a big fan of the show. So moving on, Mercedes Moné talked to Sports Illustrated, Justin Barrasso of Sports Illustrated. She recently announced on Instagram that she is moving to Japan full time.
Is she though?
Well, what? Yeah, I mean, is she? That's the thing. She says the rumors of her contract ending are far from the truth. And that's okay. That's great. I mean, that might be true now, or it might have been true the whole time. Who knows? We don't know. She does really good at keeping her business to herself, like really good. And by all means, that's her absolute right. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm not talking negative about that. I'm just saying she does a really good job at doing that. Mercedes, she did say in the interview, she said that if it's not coming from her. Then how does anyone know it's her? Like, then how does anybody know? Which I'm kind of like, well, okay, I understand where she's coming from, but
of course,
yeah. But other people talk. That's the problem. And the thing that I like the most is she says she's wants to stay there and she's committed to making history. So that's, I assume, like what she's talking about, like just not money wise. I'm talking about just different titles and have different like WWE title, like compared to she's had WWE titles, she wants to have multiple New Japan or Stardom titles, stuff like that, New Japan. So, and that's what she wants to do. She absolutely loves the business, like more than
she likes
acting, she says. So.
Absolutely. The thing with Mercedes is I think she has the financial stability to own two homes.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Actually. Second of all, she knows what she's doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like take everything that she says whenever it's, in interviews, on Twitter, et cetera, you cannot take it, you know, as it is, you know, as it sounds, if you know, you know. I can't say it more clearly. She She knows what she's doing. She says, oh yeah, I'm definitely, it couldn't be far from the truth. Oh yeah, I'm definitely moving to Japan. Hey, so like a day after they announced Wembley, hey, so who are the best British wrestlers? Like, yeah. She knows what she's doing. Like, she's doing everything she can to keep herself relevant.
Yep.
She's into business for herself. I cannot tell you how proud I am of her. Like, and yeah. Before Becky, her, oh my, I'm so proud to be a woman. So ridiculously proud. And she brought so much eyes on Wrestle Kingdom. Many eyes? Much eyes?
Eyeballs, if it's WWE. Sorry, too soon. But yeah, she brought eyes, like, in some occasions, eye, because some people only have one eye.
Okay, so.
Some people, like, all right. So, Maggie, this is where the part that, this is your NXT segment. Are you ready?
I don't know. Are you ready? Did you watch NXT?
I did. So I'm ready for you to go nuts.
Okay. So, guys in the chat, if you
linear eyeball. Sorry, that was it.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. Jesus. Guys in the chat. Yeah, we all have four eyes here. Come on. It's the spectacle show. We were actually considering calling the show Spectacles.
Yeah, we did, weren't we? I forgot about that.
Jesus, that would have been so bad. So, guys in the chat who are watching live, please share us your thoughts about NXT this week. Because I say each and every week that NXT is becoming more and more of a struggle for me. And this makes me incredibly sad because NXT was my favorite wrestling show ever. Like, I did not like AEW in the beginning. It was weird for me. It was because it was new, okay? Like, I have trouble with accepting new things. But, like, and I was rooting for NXT. I was like, no, fuck, no. Like, NXT is so much better. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. We start talking on this show, Rob, you and I, talk about, you know, potentially a soap opera, you know, story being actually interesting, you know, and this is a story that, you know, includes Double Vest in the Beach and, you know, horse lawyer and porn accountant, you know.
Yeah.
This is going to sound weird if you guys don't watch the NXT post show with Alex Palowski and Kate, which you really should. If you don't watch NXT, just watch the show because it's immensely entertaining. Yeah, so they had a real angle between each other. You know, Beej is incredibly in love with this, with the porn account. And like he's doing everything he can, you know, to go on a date with her. Then they go on a date on Valentine's Day. And they just assume that, you know, we all assume that they're boyfriend and girlfriend now, right? Yeah. And then on the next, you know, a couple of weeks later, you know, Double Vest goes there and said, oh, okay, look, where's your girlfriend? And he's like, we're fine. We haven't spoken in 2 weeks, but yeah, she's my girlfriend. Like, okay. Like, is this a thing? And then, you know, the horse lawyer. Yeah, the horse lawyer and, you know, the Double Vest dude. They break into the porn accountant's office, you know.
Yeah.
They find out that she's cheating on him. And they want to go and tell the guy, but like she was no, it must come from me. Come on, like whilst they're actually women's tag team champions, by the way. And she was like, it has to come from me. By the way, let's go and defend our titles. Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton, I like it. Tiffany Stratton's telling the story. This makes it even
sure.
Better.
Sure, toodles. Tiffany Epiphany. Okay. My Tiffany Epiphany is that this show actually starts to suck at this point. So, You know, Beach comes out and hands the horse lawyer a big ass handbag. And he's like, use the bag right in front of the referee. Right?
Yes.
In front of the referee. And she, with everything that she has in her body, what are you doing? This was the worst acting. What are you doing? And she, this, what are you doing, was 5 minutes long. What are you doing? All in front of the referee. And then when they lost the fucking match, they left because they were so, you know, this is so beneath me. And now what we have on this week's episode, they go, you know, the horse lawyer and the double vest go into the porn office's, you know, office. And they were like, we want to talk with Beach. And she was like, if you want to talk to him, maybe you should just call him. But he hasn't been answering the phone. And now, all of a sudden, someone opens the other door to the office.
You know, door.
No. Yeah, the forbidden door. And do you know what comes out? You know, the camera starts from the shoes and up and up. And all of a sudden, there's Beach looking like a gay narco drug dealer from the Cali cartel. He literally looks like he's about to bitch slap you with a handful of cocaine.
Yeah, which,
and then he was like, no, like we I'm slick now, or you know, I'm supposed to be. And then they, you know, they busted him out. No, like, we're not your friends anymore. What is happening here?
I got nothing. That's the thing.
Like this this incredibly sexy porn accountant said we were not exclusive, and all of a sudden they are exclusive. You know, because she succeeded in turning him, to his friends. And then they go into her bar because the horse lawyer has a bar. She has a bar, and they enter, and he was like checking for dust. Did you see it? This was so fucking lame. And I was what is happening here? So I was so intrigued in this story. And now, you know, I'm a woman. I'm genetically, attracted to soap operas. I want drama. And now it's shit. I don't care about this anymore. And after that, I thought, oh, this episode of NXT cannot possibly go even bad. Do you know what they showed after that? They showed a vignette about a wrestler who is soon coming to NXT. Do you know what that vignette was? I had no idea what I was watching, but I was fucking crying from laughter. I lost 5 pounds from laughing. Okay. So you pretend you're the camera. You're walking on this really nice day. You're walking on the meadow. You know, there are trees and there's the grass. Oh my God, there's a beer keg. A huge beer keg comes into the screen and crashes in slow motion. You're like, what is happening? And then a cassette player.
Yeah. A cassette player.
A cassette player enters the frame. And I was like, is that a random garage sale with some narcs? I don't know. Okay. Like, what? And then a sofa. And I was like, okay, we're back to the big times. And then your grandmother's chair.
It would have been funnier if he was throwing his grandma, though.
What? Yeah, like at least make it funny, like make sense funny. And I'm like, what is happening? And then they showed a wrestler, and he was like, yeah, I'm coming to NXT, you know, soon. And I'm like, why did you throw all these stuff? And where did you get your that stuff from? Because there is no stuff around you.
Yeah.
Like you showed up to this meadow with a car full of random stuff that you bought out of a garage sale, and then you randomly threw it around a meadow. What? Did you watch this?
Yeah, I did after you told me about it when we were
Yeah,
talking to Phil,
was
but
this I went back and watched it three more times because it was so goddamn funny. I cannot tell you what is happening here. If I see this one more time, I'm gonna need some context to this.
I really couldn't tell you. It was that bad.
I know. I know.
Man, it's
Jesus.
yeah. But yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, the only thing I like watching for the most part are the people.
Thank God for the women's matches, by the
Yeah.
way, on this show, because Zoey Stark and no, and Roxanne Perez, they fucking killed it.
He says TL says it's his gimmick is that he works at a garage sale.
I would not watch the show anymore if that was the case. Jesus.
Yeah. So, man, it's just bad. And that's why, like, I told you, I rarely watch the show live anymore because it's like, well, you know,
Kudos to you.
that's a night away from like wrestling since I got Monday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And
Every night,
yeah,
like
I'm like, I
there's
need a night.
wrestling every night, and some nights more than one.
Yep. So it's a way to get it's a way to get away, I guess. But moving on, something positive for WWE wrestlers. Fightful Select reported that WWE and Twitch reached an agreement that will allow wrestlers back on Twitch with no restri with almost no restrictions. Sean reported that the revenue will be a three-way split, which mo talent will get the majority of the revenue.
Yes, they're getting 50-50, like because Twitch is getting 50% of the money that you're making, and
Yeah.
you get the 50%. But WWE will get a cut from Twitch's side,
Fine. Yep.
not from the wrestler's side,
Correct.
which is so great.
Yes.
It's just
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And the people that Fightful Select reported to said they were very happy about the deal. In April of last year, there was a talent meeting that notified the wrestlers that they did have an opportunity to expand their third-party platforms again. However, it took longer for WWE to work out a deal, but the fact that they got it now is pretty good. The other thing too is like some of the things that they can't do, from what Sean reported, was that they basically can't go on with other people from other companies
Yeah.
without permission. So I think he made sure to put that in there because of Adam Cole. Adam Cole has permission with Newt, like the with the basically, well, not even Adam Cole, but Claudio, and
Yeah,
they
the
have
part.
permission to do it because they don't talk wrestling. So I haven't watched every up, down, down with those guys, but from what I understand, they don't talk wrestling. They just play video games, which is perfectly cool. Some more good news for wrestlers. Commander, who had a great night the other night on AEW Dynamite,
He did.
has signed with AEW. Tony Khan tweeted shortly after his match that they signed him. So another great wrestler that Tony Khan has that is in his hands to give the people some great matches. What do you think of this signing?
I feel like all these magnificent wrestlers that Tony Khan has in his back pocket, wrestlers that we don't normally see on TV as much as we want to, these are the wrestlers who are going to benefit from a brand split. And because you and I have been like more than a year on the show and said that they have so much great talent which haven't been on our screens. For whatever reason, like, we're not speculating on the reasons. We don't see Miro as much as we want to. We don't see fucking House of Black as much as we want to. And there's Trio of Champions, by the way. You know, they weren't on the show again this week. Are they on Rampage?
Let me look. I have the Rampage preview up here.
Yeah. No, they're not on Rampage. No. Julia Hart is.
Yeah, Julia Hart. That I knew there was somebody, but yeah, Julia Hart's taking
a year. Julia Hart is like, but like they're not there.
Yeah.
It's Miro's not there. I know Andrade's is
Andrade, hurt. Yeah, Andrade's has his surgery, so yeah.
Okay.
Surgery, so he's chilling with Charlotte somewhere, so that's cool. So he's doing good.
Oh, yeah, poor guy, you know.
poor guy.
They have some amazing stars that we don't see that much. So I would like to see, you know, the commanders of, you know, of AEW getting the spotlight as well. Really, really amazing signing. Like, he, and that match he had, Switchblade, okay. They both shined. It wasn't a squash. So
yeah,
everything that had to happen. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was real good. And I enjoyed the match. I know some people had their issues with it, but
I know, and I get why. I get why. I don't see the walking of the rope. You know, I don't get it. But it's such a thing of beauty, like that move as itself. It's
It's great. Like, I mean, from
it's a thing of beauty. That's it. I don't care.
I have a hard effing time just walking on the ground now. Like, what they can do on a rope.
I trip over my own feet.
Like, so the fact that he can do it on a rope is even better.
Like, but he can walk on licorice, just like Nick Jackson. Jesus, like that's
yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's a great signing for AEW. He's going to be somebody that is going to get a lot of airtime for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's
pun intended, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess so. All right, let's do this. You ready? Cooper Effect.
Yeah. Do you have the photos ready?
Yep. Yeah, I'm pulling them up.
So, guys, we're just going to show you a bunch of photos. The story here is that a baby owl fell out of its nest, and then he decided to get help from the nearby community college. So they got, help, and then they took the owl and...
I love that.
Like, they were studying, and then all of a sudden they thought.
Like, yeah. That would be creepy as hell, though, if you just kind of look and you see that just like right at you. Yeah. Ugh. There you go.
It's, imagine, having lectures and everything and those eyes.
Not. That broke Maggie there. That's great.
Well, the kitty in the ATM machine doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I passed the point.
Yeah. It's not the same. Yeah.
I know. It's still funny, but like, it will never be as funny as that.
Like the first time. Week or two.
Yeah. Having in mind that I was the one who found the Cooper Effect, and I looked at the photo and like, I just broke down. So yeah, help came and they took the owl up to its nest. It's safe now, but like the all props goes to Rob, by the way, because he was the one who found that Cooper effect. He knew that I was gonna love it because surprise, surprise, I like owls, and them being so goofy, this just proves it. He showed me, you know, he showed me the Cooper effect before, right before the show, and it was a bummer because he, yeah, like Rob was the one who should have done this Cooper effect and just surprised me because I lost it before the show.
Yeah,
I fucking lost it.
This is what I don't understand. Scott says, a new clip for Rob overuse. When do I have I used a clip or like overused a clip?
Yeah, United David States. Busters, damn it. Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary!
Okay, that was enough of that.
So. Thank you, Scott. Now you're at fault too.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Sullivan says, do you think the owl asked, who are you?
Yeah.
There. So.
It was a baby owl. Come on. It can't talk. Yeah. Are you? This is a wah.
Okay. So, moving on, we'll talk about Raw this past week. It wasn't actually a bad Raw.
It was not a bad Raw at all. Yeah. And as much as, you know, a lot of people gave it praise, I just thought that it didn't suck.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah, and yeah, but like as I've said a million times on the show, that's awfully low bar. But yes, we did have Rollins and The Miz, which I love these sorts of matches that just remind you that Miz is actually a good wrestler. Of course, props to Rollins as well, because like he can do no wrong. Like, I'm a big simp for Rollins, everyone knows that. But yeah, every now and then I love you know, Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz, you know, those sorts of matches that, oh, right, Miz can wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, why does he do that?
Well, you know what's funny, like, or not funny, but AJ Styles said a few years ago, like, somebody that gets a bad, like I guess bad rub because of, just because of, like, his character and stuff, he goes, The Miz is one of his favorite guys to work with. Like,
yeah,
he just really enjoys working with him. So that tells you something. If AJ Styles likes working with you, that means you're pretty fucking good. I mean,
no, so AJ
Styles. Yeah, we miss AJ Styles. Our great friend Chris sends us a super chat. He says, hey guys, didn't think I would make it today, but I got lucky. Hey, congrats on getting lucky. I hope everyone is doing well. I knew Vikingo sure is crazy, huh? Chris is like, I didn't. Yeah. All right. Oh, well, we got another. Here you go, Maggie. D-Lo, there's your Peaches song. I'm Peaches, 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 Peaches. I love you. Whatever. Stuck in my head for the last 2 weeks. Love you both. Okay, bye.
No, bye.
Well, he's probably working, I guess. I assume. Or
I don't care. Quit your job.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, don't quit your job.
Don't quit your job. Yeah.
Don't quit your job.
Please don't quit your job. We love you too, by the way.
Usually we don't answer these, but I'm kind of curious what he thinks here. Frantic asks, hey Maggie, do you think AEW needs a wrestling court?
Wrestling court? Why? Kind of like,
yeah, well, my thing is, it goes back to the Undertaker days. Like, where
I know.
Yeah,
you just let, no.
This is my thing. You just let those days need to be over with. You just need to let locker room leaders do their thing. Like, kind of.
AEW's locker room leader. That was a really hard sentence for me to say. Locker room leader. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, from what it sounded like from basically the reporting after the
Moxley?
Yeah, it was Moxley, Danielson, Jericho. Sound like the main ones. And then you have like other people that they lean into, like Arn Anderson. Like, I mean, that's who they lean into for producer wise. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's the thing. Like those days need to go. Yeah, Christopher Daniels, like he's up there because of what he does, like talent wise, getting talent. But I mean, he's somebody in the back. Yeah, Dustin Rhodes, who's definitely one. I mean, he's a veteran, like that people would go to for sure. I mean, there's so many people back there that are good for that. And the thing is wrestling has changed so much.
So much.
For the women's wrestlers, you look at it from Britt Baker's one of the locker room leaders. I know a lot of people don't like what's been going on with her and Thunder Rosa, but it's still, she puts that aside, like for, like when it comes to the benefit of other wrestlers, you got obviously Saraya, who's a locker room leader. She's been around. Plus there's, I mean, they're doing good, I think. I mean, that's, thing. I think the locker room leader thing needs to just go. But, or not, excuse me, the wrestling court's what I meant. Wrestling court, that just needs to go. It doesn't need to be used anymore.
It doesn't need to be in wrestling anymore. Like, it's, no.
Yeah. Yeah, Sting, duh, that's probably the biggest one. One of the biggest ones, like if he's around. That's
cap locks, okay.
Well, I didn't even think. I mean, obviously, he's somebody that you would go to, but
it's as far as like
somebody that's there every week, that's who I would think it'd be those guys.
Yeah, but like, no, Sting is a cheerleader. Come on. Yeah.
This, and Scott, I do agree with Scott there on that. Needs to stop trashing people on the reality show. I get that, but I also sometimes those reality shows are,
They are what they. It's a reality show.
Yeah,
people are not gonna watch a reality show if you're not.
Loosely scripted too, by the way. Just so you know, I mean that's
loosely scripted. Yeah.
Things, but but yeah. Moving on. So
moving on.
Like for Raw, what I liked the most obviously was the Rollins Miz match, and I thought Trish Stratus got one of the best promos that she's had.
Trish Stratus. Oh my god.
Yeah,
I'm stopping.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. But yeah, Trish Stratus's promo was amazing. I thought she did really good when she took a shot at me about the teenage dream thing, whatever she said. I forgot the line.
Oh, come on. You're not the only one.
No, yeah. I know. I'm just, well, yeah, she but I'm just saying.
She looked so great, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it's, you know, the little girl in me is like, are you telling me that you can, how old is Trish Stratus? Because she looks 35. I don't care. How can you be that old, that this year's old?
She's 47.
You're a mother. Yeah, she's a mother also. And you look that fucking amazing. You have no right to look that amazing. Oh my God. Jesus. I can't wait to see what she does. She was always, you know, kind of better when she was a heel anyway. I wasn't ready to boo her because it's Trish,
yeah.
You know, nostalgia and everything, but she's the one who can fight nostalgia. She can do it. You can cheer for nostalgia when Lita comes back. Like, you can have that. Yeah, the Trish Stratus promo was great. I had a huge problem with the Cody and Brock segment.
Yeah, that was weird.
A huge problem. And not because it was a bad segment. Like, don't get me wrong. After everything that happened at WrestleMania and the Raw after WrestleMania, and then after that, you know, the conflicting promo that Cody had, yeah. I've kind of made my peace that everything will be weird until forever. But this is just bugging me so much. So Brock attacked Cody with, you know, a bunch of stairs. You know, beat him up and everything and whatever. So Cody was super pissed off at that, right?
Yeah.
As he should. Like, hey, Adam Pearce, I want, you know, Brock at WrestleMania Backlash. Which, by the way, did you know that Bad Bunny is going to be there?
Jeez. Oh, I did find out about that.
Yeah. Mm. And
I just like has learned.
Yes. I had a huge problem with that because, hi, Cody, why aren't you this passionate about losing at WrestleMania? Like, why aren't you as passionate about getting ripped off? You know? Roman Reigns cheating once again to, you know, to keep the title. All the shenanigans, you know. Bloodline getting away once again, you know. He's going to break records. 1,000 days, think of the merchandise, Rob. Yeah. Why isn't Cody pissed off at that? Why is he so passionate about Brock? And because this story would have been so much better if the title was involved. Because Brock would have had a reason, actually a reason, to fight Cody.
Well, that's the thing, too.
Because now he can challenge for the championship. Because he couldn't back then when Roman was champion, because he lost the last match. And he lost the opportunity to ever challenge Roman for the championship.
Well, the one thing too. I know, but the one thing I want to say before I forget, sorry, real quick, I just want to say that the one thing too, what you make a great point about is, Brock Lesnar. In this part, Brock Lesnar, he'll fight anybody. That's the thing. Like that. That's what I just like. Why would he not want to wait for the? Why would he just try to figure out to? Story-wise, why would they not have him try to piss off Roman where Roman, like, says, okay, you know what? I'm tired of this. Here, you get another title shot. I mean, that's a little far out there because what the hell does Roman have to lose? You know what I mean? But I just don't get it. I don't understand it. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's like the brawl was fine. It was fine. You know, WWE loves these brawls when, like, all, you know, the locker room. Oh no, Michael Cole, it's the locker room and everything. Yeah. You know, everyone came out and 20 security guards, Wardlow wasn't there.
Well, you know what's crazy is one of the security guards was one of the paramedics that at WrestleMania, Frontman Jah, or JH, as I call him Jah, but I don't know what other people call him. Frontman, it was an independent wrestler named Frontman.
Okay. Well,
I bet D'Lo's been on a card with him before. But he was one of the paramedics at WrestleMania.
Yeah, okay.
Or no, he wasn't a paramedic. He was one of Dominic's Joe guards.
Okay. And he was one of the security guards. Yeah, the one guards. That was leading him, you know, on his right?
Yeah.
Yep.
He was...
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I've seen him wrestling.
Yeah, okay, so nice guy. I have no problem with the segment. I have a problem with the logic of it. You know what? So Brock came out, hi, I'm your friend, Cody. I'm going to make you look like, 5 feet tall while I'm 17 feet tall. I'm not going to give you a noogie, but I will look as if I am, you know, and then I'm going to pretend to tag with you, but I am going to F5 you as you are under your spotlight. It's weird, even for Brock.
For interrupting you, I think is what he meant.
Yeah. You'd think that I would be pretty used to men interrupting me, but like I'm not.
Oh, I didn't mean
I know. I just have a problem with that. And, you know, I still am pissed off that Cody was like, you're the better man, Roman. And then he forgets about Roman, even though Roman was not the better man. I thought that he was going to be, you were the better competitor, you were the better man, but you weren't the better wrestler. I thought that this was what they're going to say, and then they didn't say it, and I'm like, are they forbidden from saying the word wrestler again? Because they have been saying a lot of local medical facilities.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've been saying that. They said local medical facility again. It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so that's, you know, son of a bitch, he's back.
That's how we knew. Like, how do you know? Like, when he said this. Like, are you sure?
How would they know? How would they know? So yeah, like, this is my problem. This is the huge problem that I have in this storyline. It really doesn't make any sense. This is proof that this story was written with Cody winning the belt. You cannot tell me that throughout this entire storyline, all this time Cody was supposed to lose. No. No one. Nada.
I agree.
It's very important for you to realize that Cody is looking really dumb right now. It's really, really important. It's muy importante.
Oh, well. Nice. Very, I like that. He went Spanish.
Yeah.
Well played. I was not expecting you to go there. But yeah, I mean, other than that, the main event, Owens, Zayn, and Riddle. Over Judgment Day. I liked the ending. That was, as Sean put it, at the end of the night, gang wars.
Because
you had LWO,
the Usos Bloodline, there, obviously. The Bloodline and Judgment Day.
Yeah, that was crazy. I liked it.
Loved it.
The faces stood tall. How about that? That rarely happens.
Local medical facilities and the baby faces staying tall. What is happening?
Yeah. It's like Ghostbusters.
I know. It's weird. I love seeing, you know, the Bloodline. The Judgment Day. Actually being portrayed as legitimate, you know, threats. Even though, do you happen to catch the fact that I DM'd you something, you know, on the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. All the people that won on WrestleMania lost their matches on SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yes. And Finn Balor is here, and Finn Balor lost at WrestleMania, and Edge isn't here.
Yep. Yes, that's like, geez.
Hi, Tom.
And he had the gash on his like head from that nasty cut.
Kudos for him being there as a whole.
Wrestling. Both nights too, or that Monday. Didn't he wrestle Monday? Yeah, he did wrestle that Monday, right? Now I can't even remember. It seems like forever.
I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. Anyways, our good friend Tom Talks Rubbish, who just had his interview drop this week with Sean Ross Sapp on his channel. Very rare to have Sean Ross Sapp to do interviews outside of Fightful, so check that out. It's a really good interview.
Apparently you either have to be Chris Van Vliet or Tom Talks Rubbish. So.
but he says, what's up, my favorite people? So thank you, my friend, for the super chat. We appreciate you. Hope you're having a good day.
Hope you are. Those are Tom, guys. He's a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah, and he has his own show on Fightful Overbook too now. So but anyway, SmackDown preview tonight. Braun Strowman and Ricochet taking on the Viking Raiders. That seems like the first time that's happened. Gunther taking on Xavier Woods for the Intercontinental title, defending his title against Mr. Woods. And then you have Raquel Gonzalez and Liv Morgan.
Xavier Woods. It's as if he's being punished for having Twitch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like he's being punished for Kofi Kingston being hurt, more like it.
Yeah.
Raquel Gonzalez and Liv Morgan taking on my favorite wrestler and women's wrestler right now, Chelsea Green and Sonya. Sonya Deville.
Actually, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville work so great with each other.
I love it. I do. Like, I just love that character. I do.
Like, they complement each other really, really, really great.
So, yeah, the GCW. Mm-hmm. I know.
Steven Jensen and Caden are going.
Steven Jensen and Caden are going to be there, so that's cool.
Please, guys, have the best time there. I hate you for going to wrestling so much. Yeah. Like, please have a wonderful time.
Yeah, they suck.
Don't forget I hate you.
Yeah. AEW Dynamite, weird AEW Dynamite this week.
It was. It was really weird. It was really, really weird. It started off with a promo, which was not good.
Yeah, the Pillar promo.
Yeah. It's, hey, here's why you suck. You were here from the beginning. You were apart from the California clique. And like, what is happening? Like, why are we having this every week?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we had this already.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, so the things that stood out in this promo was Darby Allin saying, Sammy, of all the pillars, I've known you the longest, and oddly enough, I like you the most. It's like, okay, well, why is it? Okay, weird compliment time, but whatever. And then another time was, like you said, Darby Allin saying to Jack Perry, like, you were handpicked because you're part of the California clique. And then Jack Perry responded with, you're only here because you didn't make it as a skateboarder. That was actually kind of entertaining. I was like, okay, that one's decent. Because that was what Darby wanted to do, but I mean, still, it's like not that good. And then it's Guevara, like
they're proving that they're children. They're children.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do, so they can make MJF still look better. I mean, they don't need to do that. MJF's gonna just outdo him on the mic anyway.
They're just proving the need. Like all of them will never compare to where MJF is right now. They're just proving his own point.
Yeah. And then the other thing that stood out was Guevara telling Allin, you win the TNT title, I win the TNT title. You jump off something high, I jump off something higher. Now it's your turn to sit back and watch me become the AEW World Champion.
Does this mean that we get to watch Ethan Page shove Sammy Guevara off a bunch of stairs? I mean, if we're comparing the two,
might as well.
Next week on Dynamite,
And then the only thing like MJF said really that just stood out, and it wasn't really anything, is he's a good thing. I don't care what you think, given you think Britt Baker's talented. That was like when he was talking to the crowd.
That was to get to get the crowd fired up because they were asleep. At that point, thank God for the women's match after that, because it had Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, local, at Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Brittsburg. I always shed a bunch of tears every time that women are so over that the crowd lose their minds. Every time. That hot tag with Britt was amazing. The match was decent. I loved it. But at this point, we just watched the match. Why would we want another one? And the only reason why this was the opening match of the show was because it featured Britt Baker later on the show. And I hated it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that here shortly. So we had the Elite BCC promo. I like this. I did. I mean, it made they did the normal TV trope where the guys are all watching the screen, and just like they're coming behind because you can hear the crowd. Well, that's
because you can really hear the crowd, and no one does this. Jesus, why are you stupid baby faces? The crowd are going insane, and you're like,
So that pretty much TL just went right into what my question was going to be. So I think we got our blood and guts match lined up. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Okay, but okay, for who?
BCC.
The Elite and BCC? Okay.
Yeah. So
because I thought that he was talking about the women's match.
Well, I think the women's
because I want this to get over with, be over with, because they do the exact same thing each and every week, and nothing is different. Was that Taco?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard something barking.
No. No. Okay. No barking. No. No. No.
Okay.
Barking.
Maybe it's me. There's zero progression in the women's. In the women's blood and guts or whatever, if it ends up that we were never supposed to get a women's blood and gut match, it's going to be hella weird. So, yeah, the Elite and BCC. Don Callis comes out with a chair, and he's like, nah, bye. And he comes back with Takeshita.
Yeah, that the crowd loved that idea, and I did too.
Okay, so... there are a lot of ways which we can go here. Takeshita didn't touch Bryan Danielson at all. Takeshita was the one to come to Bryan Danielson's aid with MJF.
That's true.
I know it's not going to happen, but hear me out. I know it's not. I know it's not going to happen, but it's so dramatic that it's just... The Elite get Takeshita. And they end up injuring Wheeler Yuta. And BCC get Kota Ibushi.
Wow, look at the maniacal laugh there. That was perfect.
imagine that.
Wow, I'm more impressed by the maniacal laugh there. That was even better.
I know. I know it's not gonna happen. The Elite, both Young Bucks and Kenny Omega were befuddled by Don Callis's pick there. But I just think that Don Callis has been working with BCC for a while now. But because of that cut, how could he?
But
it wasn't scripted. I know it wasn't supposed to happen. I know that the cut wasn't, you know.
So this is one thing that I want to say. This is fantasy booking 101 for me. Okay, so let's say Takeshita. Okay, so we think Don Callis is working with...
with BCC. Yeah.
So what if, because those blood and guts matches can be 5-on-5. So what if this happens? Just what if Don Callis, Takeshita turn and they are part of BCC, mm-hmm. and then you get Kota and Adam Page part of Elite.
So, what? Say that again. I lost you for a while.
So, okay. So let's say Takeshita does turn on the Elite. So, and they join,
BCC.
So that gives BCC five guys, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Danielson, Moxley, Yuta, Claudio, and Takeshita. That gives them five plus Callis. So then you give them, so the Elite needs to find two more guys.
Okay.
Adam Page.
Uh huh.
And Ibushi.
Okay.
There you go.
This is the most common answer. This is actually the one that makes the most sense.
Take that, DeFelice. No, I'm kidding. kidding.
But if it's not Ibushi, isn't he injured?
Yeah. Well,
isn't he injured?
I don't...
This is a question I'm not telling. I'm just legitimately, wondering. So if it's not Ibushi, who is it? Because seriously, if you need to watch the Elite storyline unravel, watch BTE, please. Because on BTE, Kenny Omega is incredibly anti-Hangman.
Yeah.
Incredibly anti-Hangman. He's like, why are we talking about this guy? He doesn't even say his name, this guy.
Yeah.
So it's at one point we're supposed to get an incredibly emotional, you know, with Kenny and Ibushi, but like in a different way.
Yeah.
Like an emotional get together, you know, like reunion. Because I have complete faith in them, I cannot wait to see how this happens. But if it's not Kota Ibushi, who is it? Who is it?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, where would you go with
CM this? Punk? Oh my God, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
No.
There's Vince McMahon's music being used right there.
Yeah. Who is it?
If I don't know.
It's not Kota Ibushi.
Anybody in chat have an idea who would be? But yeah, so moving on, we had the
Wardlow one, huh?
Yeah, Wardlow. So your guy Wardlow, which I'm happy he won because you're such a big fan of his. I'm glad that he won.
I'm glad that he's with Arn Anderson.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm incredibly biased for this match. I saw that a lot of people didn't like it because of all the shenanigans and the overbooking, but I actually thought it was fine because it was silly, and I will always pop when Arn Anderson goes into the ring. He actually delivered the DDT, and I was like, oh my God, not a spinebuster? Okay. Yeah. It was awesome looking DDT, by the way. He must be taking lessons from Sean. Oh,
oh, that'll go over well.
Yeah, that will go over well. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, I'm obviously kidding. So, we talked about Shibata actually makes sense. In terms of I would like to watch the world burn, Jay White. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not gonna be.
Go ahead. Usually it's the opposite where you're interrupting me, but this today I'm like,
I know. Say what you're gonna.
Maybe if the Jericho, and this is where it's like, never mind, it's Chris Jericho. I'm like, that feud's not gonna end until 6 months from now. So,
Adam Cole, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Well, maybe if they get that done with, and then I realized after I thought about it, I'm like, well, they haven't
talked about each other at all, yeah. Like ever since he's been back. You've got to wonder.
Yeah.
Perhaps he's more busy with you know, the reality show. I don't know. It's fine. Have in mind that they cut the intro for BTE a lot. Like they had a lot of, you know, faces on the intro for BTE, and then they just cut it for weeks now.
Yeah, I've watched it, but I haven't paid attention to that.
Yeah, they cut it. It's really dramatic. I enjoyed the shenanigans because it's wrestling is best when it's silly, when it's the right kind of silly. Also, I didn't like the way Wardlow lost his title anyway. My problem with this is, what do you do with Hobbs now? That's the problem I have.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, is he going to be so pissed off now that, like, is he pissed off at QT, like, because he lost? Or, like, what's going to go here? Like, what's going to happen? The one thing I would say maybe you should do is maybe turn him face. Let him help. Like, this is, I think, would be like huge for him. Is let him, him and Ricky Starks get somewhat friendlier again, back together. You know, that could go a long ways with what's going on with this new Bullet Club Gold crap. I just don't like the name. That's my problem.
I know. We said it last week. We're going to let it play out because, like, we have faith in the people involved.
That's just me thinking outside the box there, I guess. I could see that.
Time will tell. I just hope he doesn't get lost, you know, in the shuffle. And if there is a Brent split coming, Hobbs.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forgetting about that. Moving on to, we kind of already talked about Jay White and Commander. Good match. Jay White got the win. Yes. But I don't really know what else there is to touch base on that. I mean, it was just...
We talked about that, yeah.
Jericho and Cole promo.
Okay. This was not for me, Rob.
Yeah.
At all. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people hated it. This is incredibly bipolar. I don't know if I didn't like it because it didn't work for me, or because the acting was so bad. Saraya's, you know, the candlestick swings were atrocious.
Yeah.
Britt Baker's selling was as you were supposed to sell a slight touch of a candlestick, I guess.
Man, she got hit hard though in the face. I don't know if you saw the black eye she has.
Yeah, and in her face. Yeah, okay, and that's it. Like, she's incredibly hardcore for taking that. By the way, I love Britt, but the segment was really weird. And Adam Cole was like, "I'm sorry," and he was right. He's right there.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you can see, but like he wasn't pulling on the.
Yeah, I know.
He was just standing. He wasn't, you know, because if you're a normal person who's supposed to be reaching for the, you know, for the other one who's like supposed to not get hurt, you will be, you know, pulling. He was leaning on the rope.
Yeah, somebody missed their mark, or they didn't know where they should have landed or something, because that's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, because like if he would have done that, it would show that he could have like made it, but he was probably not supposed to be around or able to get to her, because that's the point of what they were trying to do. But I didn't like it, and I didn't like the like how they had all three there, Ruby, Soraya, and Tony there, like it's like they had this plan, which I thought that was just weird the way it worked.
Okay. I had no problem with that because I think this is just Chris Jericho's veteran thinking, and then that's it.
Ryan, tell me what he did like wrong, like what I'm just curious.
What did Garcia do wrong? This is interesting. The segment was just awkward for me.
Yeah.
And then I understand all the, because like I started, you know, searching Twitter for people defending the segment and saying why they loved it. And I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. It just wasn't for me. This was no, oh God, please, like no. And this was just meant to get immense heat from the crowd because it's Brit.
Yeah.
You know, and
okay, he says he cuffed his wrist and rope together, so no one side to wrist one side.
I think I get it. Okay. He was supposed to cuff the rope with the wrist, you know. So
gotcha. Okay.
I think that this was what he was supposed to do, as opposed to, because Adam could have, you know, walked around the ring with that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, at least that's why I suppose.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, but it's how many times? Okay, I was gonna ask how many times did Daniel Garcia use handcuffs, but Drew Nicholas isn't here, so we're not gonna talk about this subject.
If you whisper just right and the wind is correct. Yeah, he goes the right direction. He just heard you. So
there you go. Drew would pop up and say, yeah. "Did someone say Daniel Garcia in handcuffs?"
Yeah.
Yeah, love you, Drew. By the way, hi. Yeah.
We had the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn taking on JAS. Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed got the win. Nothing really stood out here. Pillars tournament match: Sammy Guevara defeating Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Did not like this.
The good thing here, MJF's mockingly shouting into the camera, "It's not gonna be a fatal four way. Fatal four way.
Yeah,
it's totally gonna be a fatal four way."
Yeah, I think so too. I didn't like the way it. It's either that or it's just Darby and MJF. Like that's.
We've seen that before.
But yeah, I mean, but they stole the show at Full Gear.
Oh, so wait, we've seen everything before. No, yeah. We haven't seen Sammy, right?
I don't know.
Had Jungle Boy, we've had Darby. I don't know if we've seen.
I just, my thing is I don't know if that's going to sell pay-per-views. Darby and MJF could. The four-way match could. I don't think MJF. Granted, most people that are going to order that pay-per-view are going to order it regardless. So, you know what I mean? I don't think that's...
I know.
Yeah. AEW Rampage preview for tomorrow night. So, tomorrow night, Rampage is new. New episode of Rampage tomorrow night. So, not tonight. Make sure you
It's on when?
Saturday night. Saturday. Okay. Christopher Daniels taking on Jon Moxley. The last time these The last time these two faced one-on-one... was not even on U.S. soil, Canadian soil. It was on the ocean, on a boat, on Chris Jericho's cruise. Give me this. Give it to me. So it's only two times they've ever, this one and that match on a cruise ship, only time those two have faced each other.
We have Vikingo versus Realistico for the AAA Mega Championship. This is going to slap a lot.
Yeah.
We have Kiara Hogan versus Julia Hart. This is a wonderful opportunity for Julia Hart. She has been really, really... She's been on Dark and Elevation, right? I suppose. Yep. Because I no longer watch these shows. I cannot keep up. Seriously. Yeah. But I've missed Kiara Hogan. I miss her in Impact. I just like seeing her on my TV because she's a wonderful wrestler.
Yeah.
We also have Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and FTR versus the Varsity Athletes and Slim J.
This is weird.
Mark Briscoe on a pole match, I suppose.
Yeah. So this is just odd. I mean, there's really nothing else to say other than this is just odd. So
I know this is weird.
And my dog is now barking. So there you go.
Yeah. I summoned it.
All right.
Can you hear me? Because I can.
Yeah, I can hear you.
But I cannot hear you. Oh. I can hear you now. Oh. But I did. I couldn't before that. Guys, the second Cooper effect is about Phil from Grab City. We had a wonderful chat with Phil. Not yesterday. So I don't care. We had a really lovely chat with Phil. I was a bit nervous because, like I talked to Sean, to Rob before that. Phil is one of the guys in our field, which in my eyes are immensely cool. So I get nervous around him, you know. And Phil turned out to be a wonderfully, wonderfully laid back guy. And we just loved him. Like, we had such a wonderful time. So please subscribe to Fightful Select.
Yes.
And watch our chat and listen to our chat with Phil. We talked about Grapsody, we talked about Lucha Report, and you know, the wrestling atmospheres at live events, how he recognized me on the photo from Dynamite.
he was a great guest. I enjoyed talking to him. We talked a lot of different things, how he got started in wrestling media, how he just everything. It was a good talk. He was a good guy, very soft spoken too. One of our very, very soft spoken guests. Like, so it was very, very fun. Very good guy. Got to learn about him, which I really enjoyed. Chris sent us a super chat that says Phil is great. Bleacher Report is lucky to have him. You guys are, man. You are. You're lucky you get to call him a colleague just like we do too. You know. So
show Ryan's comment above his.
Paywall, Phil, or no, sorry, Maggie gets the same way around me.
Yeah,
that happens. It happens to the best of us. All right. Maggie, this is a rare occasion. We actually have a photo dad joke. Are you ready?
Really? No.
So, man in boxers leads police on brief chase. Nice. All right. Maggie, why did the biology teacher break up with the physics teacher?
Because there was no chemistry.
Damn it. Yep, you got it.
I guess.
Yeah, that was a good one. My grandfather was terrible, but then I had my first child, and he became a great grandfather. Yeah, that's not that good. While most puns make me feel numb, math puns make me feel number. Damn it.
Damn it, Rob.
Yeah, if I could read, that would have been perfect. Somehow. Bitch. All right. I find elevator jokes to be the most uplifting, but sometimes they also bring me down.
Sure.
And of course, I got to save the naughty one for last.
Of course.
What's the German word for bra? Stop it for flopping.
It's not, by the way.
I know.
But just so you know. Yeah,
I figure that. Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK if you adore Pedro Pascal as much as I do. Follow me on Instagram for Pedro Pascal all the time.
Yeah. You can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. Otherwise, I am on Instagram at Fightful Rob. And then every Friday, me and this lovely lady here are right here on Fightful will be booked for coexisting with Rob and Maggie. And then over on Fightful Select at 5 o'clock, 29 minutes from now, you get coexisting after dark with Rob and Maggie. And our guests, like we talked about earlier, is Phil Lindsay from Bleacher Report and also Fightful's Grapsity. So
Fightful Selects Ask Grapsity.
Yeah, and yep, there you go. So other than that, guys, I want to say thank you very much. We appreciate you. We love you. We will see you next week. I think that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later. I already hit the button once, so I'm not going to do it again. So peace. Shit. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.